Okay, guys, y'all ready? We're going to go ahead and get started now so we end up with plenty of time. Let's go ahead and introduce ourselves. Still trying to master PowerPoint. I'm Steve Peschka. I'm a senior principal architect at Microsoft. Today we're here to talk about integrating Yammer and SharePoint using .NET. My co-presenter, go ahead, Cam.
I'm Cam Askew. I'm an associate consultant here at Microsoft.
Okay, and as our first act of today, now y'all realize Yammer is a social product, right? Anybody not clear on that? This is probably the wrong session for you. So as my first social act of this session, we're going to take a little movie of everyone that's here today, and we'll find some place to go, hey man, you should have been there. You should have seen it. So everybody go, hey, love the session. Right on, wave your arms, go, yeah, we were social today. You can check off that box on our performance review. Good job, nice work, everybody. Okay, so we'll go ahead and we'll get started with the more esoteric details of social, which is more than just recording a video with your camera. So our objectives and takeaways today, we're going to talk about the common APIs that are used in custom Yammer apps. So we're going to look at, we're going to do a drive-by, basically, a real high level of these are the different APIs you have to work with. These are the things that you need to know when you're working with them. Our focus is definitely going to be on .NET, using them in .NET, because when you go to the Yammer developer site, about 95% or more of what you see up there is how do I do this Yammer development using client-side APIs, so JavaScript and jQuery and that kind of thing. So we're going to flip it around and do the other half of that equation, which is how do I do these things in .NET. Along the way, we'll look at how to use Yammer data in SharePoint, and then we'll also look at how to use line of business data in Yammer. And for our particular scenario, we're going to use SharePoint as our line of business application, but it could be any line of business application that you can programmatically communicate with. Thank you for the applause in the other room. What a coinkydink, right? Okay, so our agenda today, we're going to look at the Yammer APIs again, just a real high-level overview, and then we'll move into some of the specific challenges with using those APIs with .NET, and then we're going to go from that right into scenarios, and that's probably going to be like the latter, I don't know, two-thirds, roughly, of the presentation, which is going to be look at these different scenarios and we'll kind of walk through, okay, so if you have this scenario thrown at you, what are the challenges for you? And we're going to look at, oh, and how would we suggest solving them? So the Yammer APIs. So Yammer itself has what I would call a relatively small amount of developer documentation that you'll find up on developer.yammer.com. And the reason why I say relatively is because if you're looking for something like you would find on TechNet or MSDN for like SharePoint, it's going to look tiny, right? For those of you who have seen it, it could probably fit on the palm of my hand if someone wrote really small. So there's not a lot there, and again, like I said, what is there primarily focuses on the client side, which is fine. It at least does a pretty respectable job of covering the from a REST standpoint, the REST endpoints, which for us are what we're going to use most frequently. The developer model itself, really, that you have kind of three options when you get into Yammer. Two of which are client-side, so we're not really going to talk about them too much here. One is the Yammer embed, and the Yammer embed library is functionally like taking something like a feed from a Yammer group and embedding it in your web page, and it really is literally like that. I mean, it has the same UI look and feel and everything that you add to your page, that kind of thing. In addition to that, but it's really limited in terms of how much you can customize it. In addition to that, there's the Yammer JavaScript SDK. That's if you want some more granular control over what you want to do with your Yammer data. And then the third option is the REST endpoints. And the REST endpoints, you can use both client-side as well as server-side. And really just one quick bit of background. The reason really that we decided to build out this session to talk about this is because the embed stuff and the JavaScript library, those are great for writing browser-based applications. I think you'll find that they do pretty much anything you want to do, and adding onto that the REST SDK if needed. But you know, for those of you that are used to working with larger enterprises and writing enterprise applications, you know there's a lot of applications that you end up developing that never have a human involved, right? You're writing some scheduled task. You're writing some Windows service. You're writing some glue in the middle that needs to talk between, you know, like maybe an SAP system and something else. Well, there's not a human, right, sitting at a keyboard clicking in a browser to do that sort of integration. And that's why we built out this content to describe how to do that with .NET, so you can build those types of applications a little easier. So the REST API, this is what I call, again, my kind of drive-by of the REST API. And the point of these next couple slides is not to give you a detailed description of each and every one of these, because honestly, your time is better spent just going to developer.yammer.com and reading the details there. But it's really just to give you, at a high level, this is the type of functionality you have access to with those REST endpoints. And so we'll just quickly kind of walk through them. And you'll notice a couple of them I have asterisks next to. And the reason why I do that is because those are the ones that you tend to use most frequently when you're doing your development with Yammer. So messages, those are that's really the most popular one far and away, because your messages REST endpoints you'll use in your Yammer groups. You can look at private messages like a user gets in their inbox. You can work with attachments for messages through the messages REST endpoint, that kind of thing. The groups are for joining and leaving Yammer groups. The users, that's everything that you can sort of think of that you would typically do with the user, from retrieving information about them to updating their information to find out who are they following, who's following them. All of that kind of stuff is wrapped up in the user's REST endpoint. The relationships are for modifying the org chart. The notifications, it gets the notification feed for a user, so if you want to see, hey, what's on their notification feed that they see when they go visit the browser, you can pull that in with the with this notification REST endpoint. The suggestions are for if you want to find out the list of, for example, suggested groups that Yammer says a person might want to join, or people that a user might want to follow, you're going to pull that information out of the suggestions endpoint. The subscriptions, if you're subscribed to groups, documents, users, whatever, you can do that through the suggestions REST endpoint. Autocomplete would be like sort of a standard autocomplete functionality that you see in most web applications, but if you want it catered to, they're typing in something and you want to give them a preview of a Yammer username or a Yammer group name, that's how you would use the autocomplete. The invitations are used to send out invitations to a Yammer network. And this one actually can be pretty valuable, especially if you're working on a staggered deployment of Yammer. So by default, you're going to create Yammer, but a person really isn't going to have access to Yammer until they have an invitation to be able to go in and use it. So you may say, hey, we just want to pilot this with like 20 users or whatever. So maybe you go ahead and send out your invitations, maybe even manually, to those first 20 users. Well, one of your options as you go live and deploy it company-wide would be to say, okay, well, maybe I'll just use this REST endpoint now to go ahead and create invitations and send them out to my user base, or to stagger the deployment of my user base using that. Search is, you know, believe it or not, used for searching content in Yammer. And this is actually kind of a good point to make, which is out of the box, there's nothing in SharePoint that's going to go crawl your Yammer content. So there's index content in SharePoint, and there's index content in Yammer. And right now, the two do not cross paths. But we'll talk a little bit about that later on in this session. And then network. If you want to switch a user between different Yammer networks, you can use that network REST endpoint. Okay. So now we're going to talk about, so we have, you know, we know we have a few different models for development, right? We have embed, we have JavaScript SDK, and we have REST. We've gone through just a high level of, hey, these are all the different REST endpoints and give you an idea of what you can do. Now there's some things that you need to know just in general, your basic need to know things if you're building apps for Yammer. The first is that you need to register your Yammer app. Until you do that, you're not going to be able to use any API. And so what I have up here is a link that describes the process that you need to go through to register your application in the Yammer network. And actually, this is, I guess, again, sort of a quick pause point here. What I've tried to do throughout this presentation is give you links to things where I think it's more valuable, A, for you to have the reference materials, and B, for you to spend your time more effectively. Which means things that you can, you know, get the details from just from going to the Yammer site, I'm going to give you links to that so you can see that, okay, on your own time. Things that you're not going to find on the Yammer site or maybe anywhere else, those are the things that I'm going to talk about, going to be talking about here to try and best, again, you know, use your time while you're here. The next thing is be aware of request throttling. So the Yammer API has built-in request throttling that's going to limit how many requests you can make in a given period of time. If you go to this developer.yammer.com/REST API, you'll find a list of all the REST endpoints. And in addition to that, at the very top of that, it will tell you what the current throttling limits are. So for example, it's like you can't send more than 10 messages in a 10-second time period or something like that. There's a few different categories, three or four up there, of throttling endpoints. Those are really important to know, especially when you're doing something that... for example, like the invitations. If you're sending invitations to your entire organization like we were talking about a minute ago, that could be something where if you just, you know, boom, 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 shove them at Yammer as fast as you can, I can guarantee that you will hit the throttling limit and you will be unhappy. Same sort of thing if you're trying to, like, retrieve every user in your Yammer network. Chances are pretty good if you have more than, like, 25 or 30 Yammer users that if you just try and retrieve them all at once, you will, again, hit that Yammer throttling network. So I point that out because you need to think through your application, what it is you're trying to do, what data it is that you're trying to work with in Yammer, and then figure out, okay, how am I going to be pulling that data down, and how am I going to be impacted by any throttling that might be present, and deal with that appropriately. The third thing, an access token is required. So an access token is really what allows you to go into Yammer and work with your content. Whether that's reading content or writing content, doesn't matter. You have to have an access token. An access token is going to, you can, the way I like to think of it, it's kind of like Kerberos constrained delegation, right? So you're going to have an access token, and it, you're effectively saying, I want to act on behalf of the user that's represented by this access token. And so you want to apply the same sort of care and maintenance and security and process to any access tokens that you use that you would to any other sort of secure resource that you're allowing to act on behalf of another user. The important thing to note here is once you have an access token, it's good forever, right? So, and that's actually can be pretty valuable, and we'll kind of talk about why that can work to your advantage as we get into the session a little bit more. The other couple things to remember about that access token only has as much rights as the person that it's associated with. So some of these APIs in Yammer will require you to have network admin access in order to use them. But if you have the access token for a user who does not have admin rights, then it's not going to help you out, right? Because as long as there's not admin rights associated with that user and that user is associated with that access token, then it's not going to let you call any of those APIs. So that access token is the same as working as that person. Just keep that in mind again when you're looking at the various APIs. Okay, so now we're going to talk a few more specifics as well about using .NET with the Yammer APIs. Okay. So we know where the data's at. It's in Yammer. We've talked about how to get after it, right? Through our embed, through our JavaScript SDK, and through our REST endpoints. Well, how do we work with it from .NET? Well, the first thing you need to know is you're going to need to make some GET and POST requests, right? Because on the .NET side, I mean, the browser takes care of all that for you, right? If you're just using the JavaScript embed library or jQuery or whatever, it will take care of making those requests for you. But when you're server-side, you need to manage all that yourself. And one of the other things about that when you do it in the browser, it also takes care of the obvious things like managing the cookies that Yammer requires in order to retrieve that data or write that data into Yammer. And so that's something that you need to take care of managing when you're calling these APIs from .NET. The next thing is you need to have an access token like I just described. Well, there's a few different strategies to getting an access token. One strategy would be to say, well, I'm going to create what I call a Yammer service account. A Yammer service account really just means I'm going to create an account in Yammer. I'm going to give it whatever rights it needs to do whatever my application needs. And then I'm going to go through and manually get an access token for that user. And the reason I would do that is, going back to what I said on a previous slide, is because that access token is good forever, right? So once I have that access token for that service account, I can just take that and I can put it in my application, and I can use that access token in any application that I want to that I'm going to write from that point forward. Because that access token lasts forever, and I can use it in whatever applications I want, and it'll always have whatever rights it has in Yammer. I'll be able to use that to do those things in Yammer. And again, that's why I also said you need to think about it the same way that you would something like constrained delegation with Kerberos. It's something you need to manage and hold on to and have a process in place. Another option would be to say, well, you could get a username and password, and then you could programmatically go through the process of obtaining an access token for a user. And I've actually written code on how to do that, and we'll talk about that in a second. That being said, I kind of wish I hadn't written code on how to do that. Partly because that process for obtaining an access token can periodically change, and in fact, I've seen that happen once already, and it broke all my code. But the other thing is, I would say it's even more problematic, more of a security issue, to be storing somebody's username and password, right, versus storing an access token. Because if I have their username and password, I can get access to all sorts of things, right? It's not just Yammer content. Versus an access token, I'm limited only to Yammer, and in addition, I don't have to do anything to synchronize that password and the user's password changes. And the third option, which we won't talk a ton about today, is that there is the capability to, actually there's a third and a fourth. A third one would be to say you can always get it manually, meaning there's a server process flow that you can go through. So if you wanted to, again, if you're in a browser-based scenario, you could redirect the user to a Yammer authentication page, or I should say authorization page, because they're already authenticated, and it will throw up an OAuth type dialogue and say, hey, this application wants access to your Yammer content. Is that okay or not? And if the user says, yeah, that's okay, then what Yammer will do is it will send back an access token in the query string, and then you would have your .NET code go ahead and grab that and go, oh, okay, well, I know for this user, this is their access token to Yammer, and that's another way to do it. And then the final way that we're not going to talk about really today, I don't think, not too much, would be that there is a capability to do what I refer to as impersonation for a user. So if you have it, and the way you would do that at a high level is you would create a service account in Yammer like I was describing earlier. You would get an access token for that user. That user would have to have the rights of something called a verified admin inside the Yammer network. And then once you have the access token for that person, for that account, and that account has those rights, you can go ahead and say, hey, here's the Yammer user ID for Fred or whoever. Please give me an access token that works for Fred. And it will pass you back Fred's access token. And then when you make your other calls into Yammer, you would pass along Fred's access token, and then whatever Fred has the rights to do, again, that's what you're going to be able to do with that code. If you're writing content to Yammer at that point, or if, for example, if you wanted to join a group in Yammer, that's the way you would do it on behalf of someone else. So if you wrote content that way, it would say, this content by Fred, Or if you wanted to join, you know, Fred to the group, you would get his access token and then use that token to add Fred to the group. And then finally, the last thing is when you make a REST API call, you're going to get back JSON, right? That shouldn't surprise anybody. Now, the thing with that is that when you're doing that browser side, that's a piece of cake, right? Because every modern browser will lay some kind of object layer on top of JSON that comes back. So it's pretty easy to work with when you're writing JavaScript to work with JSON data that's returned. And .NET is just a big string, right? And a big string can potentially pose some problems, like no one really wants to parse through, you know, 4K of text that comes back. So these are kind of the issues of using these Yammer APIs in .NET. And we have some strategies now that we're going to talk about for dealing with each and every one of these. So making the GET and the POST requests. So in and of itself, making a POST or a GET request in .NET is pretty easy. GET is really easy. POST is a little more complicated because you have to create the form values that are going to go into your POST, and then you have to send it on. But the other thing, in addition to that, like I mentioned, is that there's a set of cookies that Yammer is expecting to see and for you to maintain over the course of your request into Yammer. And so what we did to manage that, so you can definitely write all your own code to do that. What we did to simplify that process is we wrote a wrapper around the basics of making a GET request and a POST request to Yammer. And we boiled it into this code that we've uploaded to my Serendipity blog, so that when you want to make a GET request, there's just a single method you need to call, which is make GET request. And when you do that, you're going to pass in a URL, and that URL is going to be your REST endpoint, and whatever query string parameters go with that REST endpoint. And it's going to be that access token that we were just talking about. The other option is if you want to make a POST request, instead of managing all that and managing the cookies and all that stuff, you can just use this method called make POST request. And again, the only difference there is you're going to put together the form values that you would normally have sent if you were in the browser doing a form POST, which is really just like a dictionary of properties and values. You're going to wrap up that, which is just a string, and you're going to send that along, again, along with the URL you want to post it to, which is going to be some REST endpoint, and the access token. And so again, I have a link here to that wrapper library that we've written. You can go there and you can download it from there. There's a number of code samples in there that describe how to use it, and you can get that content from there. Okay, so access token. Actually, access token we've kind of already talked through pretty well. So we need an access token. We can get one manually and save it, and then we need to, you know, keep tight controls on it. We can get it on behalf of a user with that server process flow, or we say, hey, go ahead and authenticate this user, but we have to be in the browser to do that. You could actually also use that impersonation, not only use that impersonation method, but if you wanted to, another option would be to say, I want to use that impersonation method, and then I want to go out and get access tokens for all of my Yammer users. And then you could store that in some data store somewhere, a SQL database or whatever. So anytime you needed to do something on behalf of another user, you could just say, okay, well, here's the user. Give me their access token. And because an access token lasts forever, it's going to be good for as long as you want to use it. And then go grab that access token and then go use it. And so again, this sort of describes, just sort of restates your options for getting those access tokens. But again, my advice to you is, I would say whenever possible, get one manually and use that. Start with a service account and use that. And again, just put your controls in place to manage that. And then you can use it for all sorts of things. If you need to go do something in the context of an individual user, just make sure that that access token, that the person who that's associated with is a verified admin in Yammer, and then you can get their access tokens for them and act on their behalf. And we're waiting for PowerPoint to respond. Okay, sorry. okay, and then the REST API calls return JSON. So again, easy to deal with in the browser. In .NET, there are other options that you have for dealing with that. Really, again, the gist of this slide is really to say, we really don't want to deal with a big, long string, right? Because that's really difficult to work with programmatically, especially if you have, you know, hundreds or thousands even of matches that come back. So the way that you would typically deal with that would be to use some kind of serializer to take that big long string, which would then turn that into an instance of a class in .NET. And then that instance will have things like properties that you can refer to that are going to contain the values that were in that JSON string that came down. It may contain collections of content as well, like maybe for a user, you get all of the messages that belong to that user. So you might have a user object and it has a messages collection on it. So again, one of the things we did is we wrote a set of classes to cover some of the most common forms of data that you get back from these REST calls. We created a base class that will do the serialization for you. And then what makes it, how that makes it easy to use then is we're able to use one call, you know, our make post request or our make get request, to get our data back from Yammer, our big JSON string back. And then we have just one more call, a second call, to say, go ahead and serialize that into these set of classes. And then from that point, then we can work with it and do things like, you know, here's a Yammer user.department, or here's a Yammer message.subject, or whatever. And then again, all of this stuff that, this serialization stuff, is wrapped up in this wrapper API stuff that I mentioned earlier, so up on the Serendipity blog. So you can pull that down, and again, it's just a common set of operations that it's used for. Since that time, we've actually have added other classes onto it that we've used ourselves. But the whole idea is to put it up there as a blueprint, a framework for how to do it, and then you guys, you know, can go ahead and figure out whatever your application is using. If it's not using one of these REST endpoints, you at least have that blueprint for, oh, okay, well, this is how I need to go create the classes. This is the base class that I need to inherit from to get all this functionality. Okay. And now my good friend Cam is going to take over. But actually, before you do, so let's actually take a quick pause. So we've just done, like, you know, running 60 miles an hour through the Yammer API. Are there any kind of outstanding questions that you guys have right now, or do you want to just keep going and jump into the demos, or questionnaire? Go ahead. Sorry, up front here. Go ahead.
If that security token never expires, is that not a security issue if you can elevate and get a token for anyone else? Is there a way to revoke those tokens?
So the question is, there a way to revoke those tokens? And there actually is a way, if you're a Yammer network administrator, to go back and revoke an access token. Yes. Okay, question in the back there?
Will you be covering scenarios where we should be using the REST APIs against Graph APIs, or is the session only focused on the REST API?
So is it? Are we going to talk about when to use which API?
Yeah, some scenarios especially.
So this session is going to really just focus on .NET, using it. As a general statement, I would say I would break it down like this. Anytime you're using server-side code, that's going to throw out the embed option. That's going to throw out the JavaScript SDK option. You're just going to have the .NET option. If you're writing code that exists in the browser, it's really going to depend on your application requirements. The best case would be if you are able to provide the functionality that your application requires using the embed SDK, that is absolutely the way to go, because it is a teeny tiny bit of code that you need to write. But the drawback, if it is a drawback, would be that, again, there's not really flexibility to modify that. You're going to take the same look and feel. So if you have some weird, boop, you know, funky colors or fonts or whatever in your Yammer network, that's what's going to show up in your page, which may or may not fit into your page, right? And then beyond that, it's going to be, if you're still on the client side, it's going to be more of a functional question, meaning, can I get the functionality I want out of the embed SDK? Well, if not, then I need to look at the JavaScript or option or the REST API. Ultimately, the you'll get the most control, but the most amount of development using the REST APIs. And then the JavaScript is kind of the one in the middle there.
Thank you.
And actually, I would say the JavaScript as well. The JavaScript library, I would say, is not documented nearly as well. In fact, the embed script, by and large, isn't documented as well as the REST APIs are. And actually, one other thing, sorry, as long as we're on this topic, one other point that I'll make, which is, you will see, you should expect to see, better way of putting it, you should expect to see continued investment really in the REST APIs. That's where we're going to be focusing a lot of our energies going forward, is adding more functionality to those REST endpoints.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Another question?
Yes, I've read through the documentation somewhat, but I haven't seen anything said about which APIs are admin-specific. How do you know which ones are and which ones aren't?
I will have to get back on that one. I've seen it before, but I don't recall where I've seen it, so I'll have to go dig that up again. But let's connect after the session, and I'll see if I can track that down for you.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Cam, take it away.
Cool. Okay, so now we're actually going to look at some demos and scenarios that those demos are based on. So for our first scenario, we're talking about using Yammer data in SharePoint. And here's a little bit of backstory for you. So we have a sales team, right? They're using Yammer for social collaboration. Specifically, they have two Yammer groups that they're using a lot. There's a sales tips group, where if people have insights from their own experience, they think it might be of value to other people on the sales team, they can share those insights and tips, and then people, if they find them useful, can like them, right? We also have the sales contest Yammer group, where whenever there's a new sales contest, information about that contest will be posted. People can find out like what the terms and stuff like that are, and then they can exchange friendly smack talk. So, I don't know, just for morale's sake, right? There's also a SharePoint site, and that's mostly used for document management and the tracking of sales. This is just our, like, SharePoint in this case is just our line of business application, right? So every time someone in the team makes a sale, our line of business application is going to record it in the SharePoint site. And then also, the members of the sales team can go on the site to view more details about their sales and get the latest product brochures that's on the subject of document management. So what's our challenge, right? It's how to use the Yammer data in SharePoint. This is our example. So say a customer wants to keep track of which sales tips in this Yammer sales tips group are the most liked, which ones are the most useful. They want to show the top five of these sales tips in, they want to share the top five sales tips with the rest of the sales team. And then they also want the people on the sales team to be able to access this from various devices. So they don't want it to just be within the SharePoint view. Our solution to this is using a SharePoint app part. And for those of you who aren't familiar with it, it is part of the new SharePoint cloud app model. And we're retrieving a list of messages from the Yammer Sales Tips group. We're going to sort out the top five messages, because we only want the top five in .NET. And then we're going to create a provider-hosted app part, a provider-hosted app. And again, for those of you who don't know, provider-hosted is just one of the options that we have in the new hosting model. It just means it's on its own server. So it's not actually running in SharePoint. And that's going to be useful because it means we're just rendering the data as a regular ASP.NET web application, right? So we can style it with CSS and reformat it for various devices. And also, because it's provider-hosted, we can view it outside of SharePoint, like I was saying earlier. We're going to also add this app part to the actual SharePoint site so that everybody on the team can see it whenever they come to the site and they decide that they want to check the sales data. Animation, okay. On this slide, I have a screenshot of what this looks like on a mobile device. So these are our top 5 sales tips. You can see that the illustrious Steve Peschkes is the best.
That's how you can tell what's demo data.
Yeah. But you'll see that like this is formatted specifically for this device. Later, I'm going to show you what it looks like in SharePoint and as a regular ASP.NET page. We're using CSS to style it so that the user experience is better and suited specifically for the device, because that was one of our requirements, right? Let me switch over here. Good. OK. So what you're looking at here is just regular Yammer, same thing all of you have. You can see that we have several different groups. The two that I was just talking about are here. And the one I'd like to show you specifically is the sales tips group, where, like I said, people can share tips and pointers, and then other people can like them if they find them useful. Very in there. So you see the famous working on it logo here, because this is actually being rendered in real time. So we inserted our SharePoint app part into a SharePoint page. It's only showing the top 5, and it's actually pulling that data directly out of Yammer, which is pretty cool. To show you that this is real time, I can go. Let's see, let me find the right post. Cool. So we actually have this one liked already. But if I unlike it, you'll see here. OK, so it's number 5 right now. On the list, and it only has 3 likes. But if I refresh the page, because it's being rendered in real time, it should drop down to 2. Oh, but it didn't.
You grabbed the wrong one.
Yeah, maybe I unlike the wrong one. This guy here?
There you go. And that should be 4.
Yeah, now it should jump up to 4 then. There we go. OK, so now it's moved up to 4 because it has more likes than the one below it. And like I said, you can see that it's being rendered in real time. Also, you can see that its layout is a lot different than what you saw before, right? So it's been customized for this view, fits pretty nicely, and it's styled a lot differently. I can explain really quickly how we did that in the code. I'm just going to go through it really briefly. And then I'll explain how it's styled in the CSS. So like Steve was saying, when you make a RESTful call, specifically in our case, a GET request, you are getting back a string, which is pretty useless at first. But using the classes that we implemented earlier, you can extract useful data from that. And that's these 2 lines of code here. So this one's getting out the string response. And this one's actually getting out our Yammer messages.
So sorry, so Cam, just to kind of expand on that a little bit. So remember I mentioned earlier that we make a call to that REST endpoint, and that's what this message URL refers to right here, which you see up above. So that's the actual REST endpoint. If you look at that endpoint, you see at the end there's a big long number.json. Well, that number is the identifier for the Yammer group that we're retrieving messages from. And honestly, the way we kind of cheated, if you want to call it that. There are other ways to do this, but we chose to do it the cheap and dirty way for this demo, which is just to say that we went into Yammer and we just clicked on the group. And when you do that, the group ID will be displayed in the URL for it itself. So we just pulled the group ID out of there, and then we paste it into our REST endpoint here. And then along with that, we passed along our access token. And that's how we were able to get the list of those messages from that sales tip group over here. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no problem. So now that we actually have our messages as .NET objects instead of a string, we can just go through and extract the messages themselves. There's a lot of other data. But also what we're doing here is sorting them by the number of likes, taking only the top five. And then from there, scroll down a little bit more, we're just rendering them as HTML. Sorry, we gotta log in here.
I've not granted Cam any actual credentials yet, so. He's dependent upon me still. Take it away, Cam.
So, like I said, this content is rendered in a regular web page. You don't see any of the SharePoint controls on here. And because we made it ourselves, we can make it respond appropriately to browser resizing and things like that. We did that using CSS. So all the CSS styling that you just saw affect the page is in here. But the important part here is that I used a media query to say that for any device that's less than 800 pixels wide, we want to use different attributes. So we changed the text color of the title to white. We made the text a lot bigger so it's easier to read on a small device, things like that. Then give you one more look at it, and then I'll hand it back over to Steve.
Great. Thanks, Cam. Okay, so scenario number two, using our line of business data in Yammer. And our challenge here is, again, this customer has these regular sales contests, and they want to use this sales contest Yammer group that they have to socialize this contest. So basically encourage folks to be actively trying to be the best salespeople they can be during the course of these contests. And one of the ways in which they've told us they want to do that is they want to recognize the top sales folks each and every day. So that's our challenge. How are we going to solve that? Well, what we're going to do is we're going to use our SharePoint data in Yammer. And again, to make sure we draw a distinction here. In this case, we're using SharePoint as our line of business application. It could be any line of business application that you can connect to programmatically. But we're using SharePoint in this case because we have our back-end line of business application, and maybe it's writing sales data into, you know, Salesforce or SAP or whatever. But then in addition to that, one of the things that it's doing is it's writing an entry into a list in SharePoint. And that's so folks, among other things, so folks can go and look at that list in SharePoint and see which of their sales have closed on any point, at any point in time. So what we're going to do is we're going to create a SharePoint app that's going to read the data that's in that list. And we're going to convert it to a console program. And by doing that, again, that sort of fits that model that I was talking about at the beginning. I mean, this is sort of a classic enterprise type application where you say, hey, I have this thing that needs to happen once a day or on a regular schedule, which is not going to be some user sitting in a browser clicking through things, right? It's going to be some application that we need to run on its own unattended. So we're going to take that SharePoint app and convert it to a console program so we can set it up as a timer job. And then we're going to read all the sales data for that day and use a link to aggregate the sales total per person. And then once we have that, we're going to take the top three salespeople for that particular day, and we're going to post a message into our Yammer sales contest group. So we will now look at that. If you could punch number two. Okay. And we will go ahead and minimize this. And we're going to go a little bit reverse order right now. And I'm going to actually take a quick stroll through the code so we get a kind of an idea of what's going on. And then we'll go ahead and we'll look at it in the browser and see how that all turns out. So let's start out by pulling up our sales ticker application, and is that, can you guys see that code in the back, or do we need to make that bigger, or how y'all doing? Is there folks that would, we're okay? We're okay, all right. If we're not okay, then just wave at me or whatever, and we'll do something else. But in a nutshell, here's what we're doing. We're creating this query that's going to go against SharePoint, and it's going to say, pull all this content out of this SharePoint list for this particular day. And when we do that, down here, we're going to say, make sure you include the date of the sale, the amount of the sale, and the ID, the Yammer ID, for the person who made that sale. Once we have that data back from SharePoint, then we're going to use our link query here, and basically what we're doing is we're going to say, okay, well, let's get the sum of the sales amount for that day for each person, and then we're going to go ahead and order it in descending order. So whoever has the most sales will be at the top of the list, whoever has the least sales will be at the bottom of the list. And then when we're done, we're only interested in the top three sales folks, so we're just going to do a take three. And that's how we're going to get our top three salespeople for the day out of our line of business application. Now, once we do that, we're going to create, we need to post a message in that Yammer group. So what we're going to do now is we're just going to create this string that will become that Yammer message. So we start that up here, and then we just go through each of our salespeople, and we create the string that represents that person and the special format for their username, and I'll show you that in a moment. And then we finish up our string, and then basically right down here, we're going to have to do a post to create this message. And like I explained earlier, when you create a post, you need to do the equivalent of a form post as part of that equation. And remember I said, or part of that operation. And remember I said, a post is really just a collection of properties and values. Well, that's exactly what you see here. So the property is body, and the value is going to be that message that we created. The property is group ID, and it's going to be the ID of the Yammer group that we want to post this message to, and so forth and so on. And so then we're going to go down here, and again, this is using that method that we described earlier, that make post request, and we're going to send in that form body content, which is in this message variable. We're going to give it the REST endpoint where we want that to be sent to, and then we're going to give it our access token that we want to be used when we write that. Now, if that works, what Yammer does when you create a new message is that the response that it will send back to you is, in fact, the Yammer message that you created. So what we do is we make the post request, and we look at the response we get back, and then we go ahead and we do that serialization process that I was talking about earlier as well. And we say get instance from JSON, so we take that JSON and we convert it into this object, which is a collection of Yammer messages. And that collection of Yammer messages, we just look at the first message, we take the plain text of what that message was that was returned to us, and then we'll go ahead and we'll spit that out on the console app. So to start with, let's go back out here to the browser. So the first thing, let's go ahead and let's look at our sales list in SharePoint, which is right down here. And so what I've done earlier today is I just cleared out all of the stuff that was in that list, so it's easier to keep track of what we're doing here today. So again, we have this line of business application, and each time a person records a sale, we're going to go ahead and put it in this list. What I'm going to do now is just simulate a typical day by running this little application here that's going to populate some random data into that list that would simulate a typical day for our sales team. And then we'll go ahead and we'll click on the new sales list again, and we'll see, okay, so here are, you know, all the sales that occurred during the course of that day. And so now what we're going to do is, again, in the normal course of operations, we would have this console application that we set up in, you know, like Windows Scheduler, Task Scheduler, or something like that to run once a day and extract that information out for us that we just were looking at, looking at the code for it. So we'll go ahead and we'll just run that real time right now, which is this application right here. So we'll go ahead and run that. So it's going through that code process that we just talked about, and you'll see it must have worked because it spit out sort of a plain text version of that message that we wanted to post into Yammer. So if we go over here now, and we'll go over here to our Yammer network, and we'll go back up, and we'll find, here's our sales contest group that we were talking about. And we'll see, so here's the message that we just created in our Yammer group. So it's the top sellers for today, Tuesday, March 4th. It lists their name, and it lists their sales total for that day. When we created that message, we posted it not only to the Yammer group, but we also sent it individually to each of those folks, so they'll have a nice message waiting for them in their inbox, letting them know that they were a top seller for that day. One of the other things that we did, like I mentioned in the code real briefly, is I said, you know, we use that kind of special format for the Yammer name. And the reason why we did that is so when we get it in here, you'll see that Yammer has actually formatted as their first name, last name, but it also gives us this rich contact card view of that person when we hover over their name. So if we're looking at this information, we go, wow, Fabrice, you know, he's really been killing it lately. He's been getting a ton of sales. Maybe I want to go ahead and send a message to Fabrice and go, hey, you know, can we get together for 20 minutes and talk about what you're doing? Like, what's working for you? How are you doing so well? Or we could go ahead and we could click this follow button, and we could follow all of the posts that Fabrice is making. We could follow the documents that he's following or that he's commenting on or uploading or whatever. So there's some really good synergy here between kind of what's happening from the sales side of things, but also how to connect with those people in our organization and tie the two together. And actually, by the same token, actually, and Cam actually didn't show it over here, but if we go, we implemented the same thing in this Yammer app part as well. So for example, we get our top sales tips and we go, gee, you know, Garth has, you know, 8 likes. He's doing really well in sales. Well, same sort of thing. If we just click on his name over here in the SharePoint side, it will take us over to his information in the Yammer network. And from there, I can see all the conversations that Garth has been involved in. I can see the documents he's uploaded. I can send him a message. I can follow him, et cetera, and so forth. So again, there's, you know, a lot of tight connections that we can make between these different data sources and bring it all together through Yammer. Okay, so let's go ahead and flip back to the slides. Okay, and our last scenario is integrating search results between Yammer and SharePoint. So like I mentioned, we don't, out of the box, have any way to say, hey, SharePoint, go index this Yammer content, right? So Yammer has its own set of index content. SharePoint has its own set of index content. So our challenge here is the company has strong adoption of both SharePoint and Yammer. And what you will frequently see in many companies is exactly what I describe here in this next bullet point, which is adoption tends to run in two camps. There are lots of customers where we see folks that really just want to use SharePoint and email, and so they just use SharePoint and email. And then there's other folks that really want to use Yammer, and they want to use Yammer for everything. They want to put their documents up there, they want to use that as email, they want to have group conversations up there. So there tends to be two camps. And in fact, so we have some folks in SharePoint, and again, this is not atypical, we have some folks that really have never gotten into Yammer. They've never accepted their invite to the network, so they don't have anything going on in there. Well, our CIO has told us that when employees are searching for information, they want to make sure that those employees can consume information from anywhere, any corporate asset. So that's going to include both their SharePoint content, what's being crawled by it, as well as their Yammer content. So our solution is we're going to build an integrated search experience. So what we've done is, to begin with, is we built our own REST endpoint for search. And we use the new Web API 2.1 in .NET 4.5 because, among other things, it allows us to add core support. So we don't have to, or we can specify which host we want to allow to make these queries into our REST endpoint. So not anybody can just query our Yammer stuff. It's only those host names, like, you know, portal.contoso.com, for example, that can make these queries in and get results back from Yammer. It also allows us to put all the search logic in one place. So if lots of different applications want to use this functionality to pull Yammer search results in, whether it's SharePoint or whether it's any web application, they can do that. And it doesn't have to be .NET, right? It can be anything that talks REST, which is any platform. And it also allows us to pre-format those search results. So we have a consistent look and feel, which is, again, another pretty common requirement with most enterprise customers, is to say, you know, we invest in our branding, we want to have a common look and feel throughout all of our web assets and our web properties. And this allows us to do that as well. What we're going to do in this case is we're going to use a service account to retrieve the search results. So again, the reason why we're doing that in this case is because we do have some folks that don't have a Yammer account. They've never logged in, they've never done anything, they've never been added to anything. But we really need to make sure that if those folks are doing a search, that they're able to find any content in our organization. Now, the first question I usually get about this is, well, so are we going to do security trimming for that person, for that Yammer content? And the answer is, in this case, anybody want to guess? No is the correct answer. Anybody want to tell me why that is? Well, because we're using a service account, which may or may not have permissions to anything, but the point is, it may have a different set of permissions than that person, right? Right, right, which is exactly what he's saying. So now, that being said, that's just because that fits this scenario. Does that prevent you? Let me ask you this, actually. This is like your test for the session so far. So does that prevent us from going ahead and issuing a query to Yammer and getting a set of results back that are trimmed for that user? No. Why does it not? We can do it ourselves. How? So you're on the right track. So his answer was we can do it programmatically and figure out if he has access to that content. On the right track, where to be more specific, where we would take that is to say, well, what we can do is we can get an access token for that person, right? We can do that programmatically in a number of different ways that we've already talked about. And when we're making that, sending that search request to the search endpoint for Yammer, we just give it the access token of that user. And again, remember, that access token only has as much rights as that person has. And so we can use that to trim out the search results for that specific user if that is, in fact, your scenario. Okay. Does that part make sense to everybody? Anybody that there's any confusion on that we need to discuss? We're all good? A little woof, anything? Yeah, okay, we got one of these in the back of the room. Okay, so let's flip back over to the demo. So this case, we're going to look a lot less at code. A lot less at code, let's just say that. So let me actually go to the search site, and we'll walk through this way. So I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to do a search for products. And what you're going to see come up at first is going to be the default search results page that you get from SharePoint. And so what it will show us when it's good and ready is the list of all the matching content in the SharePoint site for products. So what we've done is we've created a separate search vertical. Are there folks that are not really familiar with the term search vertical? So more or less makes sense. Don't be embarrassed. It's okay. A search vertical, simply stated for our purposes today, is really just we said we're going to create a separate page for search results. We're going to put our own set of search results web parts on there, and we're going to configure them for this specific scenario that we're trying to surface. So in this case, I created this search vertical called YamShare, and it's going to go ahead and it's going to execute that same query. And what it's going to do is now we're able to see search results from both Yammer and SharePoint, but we can see them side by side, top to bottom on top of each other here. So we can see search results for all of our content here. If we want to see the full conversation for this, we can just click on this link. If we go over here, we'll go ahead and do this. We'll say, see all 5 matches in Yammer. And what you'll see when we go over there is Yammer search results will actually return you results for lots of different things. It could be for conversations. It could be for groups. It could be for notifications, for whatever. What I chose to do, I didn't have to do, but what I chose to do in my implementation is that I chose to only show search results for conversations. But I could have included all this other data as well because I got it back when I issued my query. But again, you see how it's pretty easy to kind of flip back and forth and get my search results out of that. Now, if we go ahead and look at the code for that, I'm really only going to focus on a couple things. Just real quick, the primary thing that I want to focus on is right here. We're doing the same exact thing that I described earlier. We're doing that make get request. Same exact thing that we've been talking about all along. We've just repurposed it here. And then we go ahead and we serialize it here with this, again, the same method, get instance from JSON. So again, what I did, and this is something that I haven't put on the blog, is because that first blog post, I didn't include search results. And then when I wrote this, like I mentioned at the beginning, I just followed the same pattern that I did in that blog post. I got back my list of JSON, or my JSON response. I looked at that and figured out how that mapped into a class or set of classes in .NET. I created those classes that we're going to serialize this JSON into. And then when I created those classes, I just said, I want to inherit it from that same base class because that base class has this method, get instance from JSON, and it takes care of the serialization for me. So I was able to follow that same process. And then after that, I go through all this goo to like process all the stuff that came back, blah-de-blah. The other thing that I wanted to show you, if we look again at this real quick, so we have, I think, a relatively nice UI. Actually, for those, anybody that knows me, this is actually an awesome UI for me that we get back from Yammer. So, but what's really cool about this is, like, this is not a custom, there's no custom SharePoint development here. This is not a custom app part. This is not a custom web part. This is an out-of-the-box web part. This is, actually, can anyone guess? Let's take a quick guess. Can anybody guess what web part I use for this? Sorry? Who said that? I thought I heard someone over here say it, but it's script editor. I use the script editor web part. And so all I did over here, if we look at this right here, is I just took this chunk, because it's all just client-side script. So I just took this, I created that, I copied it, I pasted it into my out-of-the-box script editor web part, and that's what got me my data. So that's pretty cool. I hope you'll agree. Okay, question. Question is there any way of doing federated search with it? And the answer is no, not as it exists today. Okay. Sorry, is there another question? Sorry, go ahead.
The question is, actually, you are not using the SharePoint crawling mechanism. So you are just crawling the API to get the search results from Yammer, but you are not using the SharePoint to crawl Yammer.
Exactly. So the question/comment is, so to be clear, you're not using SharePoint to crawl Yammer and then getting the data from SharePoint, and the answer is no, I'm not, because there is no out-of-the-box way right now for SharePoint to crawl Yammer. And that is, in fact, why we are using these REST endpoints to retrieve that data from Yammer. Other questions?
Yep.
Sorry, go ahead.
So they mentioned in the future we're going to be able to crawl SharePoint on premises. Is that going to cover OneDrive and Yammer?
I'm not sure what that has to do with Yammer, but let me try and answer that. So the question is really, so we mentioned in the future you might be able to crawl on-premises SharePoint and Yammer from O365. Sorry? From on-premises you can crawl SharePoint online. So as it pertains to Yammer specifically, I would say in the short term it's unlikely for that story to change at all. I don't know what all has been disclosed and discussed so far, but there's kind of two streams of work. One is more of a, I would call a one-off crawl option, which is a way, you know, to say selectively, I want this thing and that thing and the other thing to get pushed into the index. And then longer term, it is gonna be a solution that's comprehensive, that you won't have to do any one-off, it'll just be able to crawl the whole Yammer store. But the happy, happy, joy, joy thing of that is you won't have to be writing this .NET code to do that stuff. So the question is, could you use .NET to connect to BCS to do this? And I would say maybe. There's a lot of qualifications there. One qualification would be, how much data are we having to get out of Yammer each time? How do we manage the request throttling limits that are built into Yammer and still not time out on the crawl side? Another would be whether or not we can really effectively timestamp the Yammer content so we're not having to retrieve every piece of content in Yammer every single time. Because if you have an enterprise Yammer implementation, you're going to be buried. I mean, you'll be crawling for a day plus, or it would take a day or days to retrieve all the content that exists within Yammer. The other thing is really, I would say, also coming up with something that makes sense for every content type within Yammer. I mean, it's easy to say, I want to crawl a conversation. That's a little more difficult to say, how do I crawl a person? How do I crawl an event? How do I crawl some of those other things that are in Yammer that don't necessarily have a one-to-one kind of relationship to an object in SharePoint? So I would say, it's going to really depend. There's a lot of variables there that I couldn't say prescriptively either yes or no. Sorry, let me go to this gentleman here.
This is really cool and something I'd like to do because we're trying to get more people to adopt Yammer internally. Going back to the security token question, I fully understand if we use a service account to do the search, if we use that token, then we would not only return results for someone that does not have a Yammer account, but we'd also be returning results from private groups and things like that, right?
Only if that account had rights to those private groups.
But by default, doesn't a network admin?
If they're a verified admin, but you don't have to use a verified admin as a service account. You can use any account you want.
Right, but it needs to be, okay, it could be any account, you're saying, right? But
right.
But I want it to be an account that has access, and if the person doesn't have a Yammer account, so you're saying don't use a verified admin account, just use a general user account. Is that what you're saying?
Well, what I'm saying is use what makes sense for your application.
Right.
So if depending on the type of content you're trying to surface, you could use an enterprise admin account, more likely if you wanted to do some kind of impersonation. Impersonation isn't going to make sense if they don't have a Yammer account, right?
Right.
So if they don't, then you may want to have a different surface account that's not a verified admin, and is only, arguably, you could say, this is actually another thing you could do programmatically. You could say, well, you know what? I only want it for non-Yammer users. I only want to surface content from these groups. And you could programmatically add that surface account to those groups,
okay,
or remove it from those sets of groups.
Okay.
So again, you can slice it and dice it however your application demands it.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, is there another question down here?
Yeah, just to come back to the federated search.
Uh-huh.
I did a similar thing that you did, but instead of transforming it, and you return an open search through an open search, basically, protocol, and you were able to leverage from the search.
Okay, so comment from the audience is they took the same sort of approach that we described here, but instead returned it as in a format, in an open search format, and use that as a way to federate search results between SharePoint and Yammer. So thank you for that. It's a good idea. Is there another question here?
If we go back to everything, so it's going to aggregate both Yammer and the article about SharePoint stuff. Or if you click on everything on the search.
Okay, so the question is, if we click on everything, can it aggregate everything out of Yammer and SharePoint? It could. All you would do is just go to the Everything page and edit it, just like I did on this Yamshare page, and add that script editor web part there, or whatever you're going to do. But I kept this here really just for comparison, so you could see what the out-of-the-box experience is like versus what we customized. Other questions? Over here. Question is, REST services, are they OData enabled? I don't recall.
So I think it's just REST and OpenGraph, right?
Do you have a link to
I couldn't say for sure. I'm going to put it this way. I would not be surprised to see that, since REST is where we're heavily invested in going forward. But I have not seen like any sort of seen that specifically on the product roadmap. But that level of detail we wouldn't typically see on a product roadmap. Other questions? There was another question over here, I thought. No? Right back here, there's a couple of you.
Is it possible to create a group through one of the APIs?
Yeah, question, is it possible to create a group through one of the APIs? The answer is yes. You can use the REST API to create a group. Question behind you?
Is there a place we can download all these training groups, the source code?
Oh, yeah. So the question, is there a place where we can download all this stuff, all the source code? Everything except for the search I haven't posted yet, but that link that I gave you earlier in this presentation to the Serendipity blog, I'm sorry, I take that back. The demo code actually I have not uploaded yet, but I will add that as a to-do list on my growing list of things to do, to put together some kind of post that describes these demos that we did today and put the source code up for those as well. The other thing let's go back to the slides real quick and finish that, and then we'll just take all the rest of the questions that there are. Someone says, put it on Yammer. If anyone read me on Yammer, I would probably do that. okay, so takeaways, use the SharePoint app model to work with content in SharePoint. Use the REST endpoints, the Graph API, the client SDK, the client embed, and the JavaScript SDK for content in Yammer, and then you can build these compelling applications really by leveraging the strength of each. This is why I actually paused on that last question. Now that I say that, I actually need to double check and find out whether or not I can post the source code for this, for the demos that I showed today, because these are actually, it's actually part of some intellectual property that we created for a service offering that Microsoft Services has. So Microsoft Services has a service offering to do line of business integration between Yammer and your line of business app, and it actually uses the code from these as a starting point to go and develop these for customers. So if you're interested in that, you can go see the Microsoft Services, I call it the social booth, but what is there?
Yeah, it's just the services booth.
Just the services booth, down on wherever the booths are.
We're booth number 208.
This is why they don't let me go on sales calls, sorry. So our session objectives and takeaways, again, learn the common API that we use, that is available in the Yammer apps, learn how to use that Yammer data with .NET code, understand how to use Yammer data in SharePoint, and vice versa. I think we've covered that. If we have not, let me know. And then evaluate your sessions using your MySPC on your laptop or mobile device. So let's continue then with other outstanding questions. Any other outstanding questions? Right there, my man. Yeah, so the question is really about how much formatting you can apply to the content that you post into Yammer. I would say there's a limited amount. There's a subset of things that will be stripped out that I cannot honestly tell you that it's documented. what gets stripped out, I think that would be an awesome thing to add to the documentation. But I would just describe it at this point as a subset of, you know, full HTML and script and all that stuff. The less than happy answer on your face, I'll take that as, yes, that is a complete answer. Question? Refiners, so the question is, I think referring back to the search results, will refiners work with that, and not the out-of-the-box refiners, because those are obviously geared towards SharePoint search. Is it possible we could, you know, again, develop our own refiners? Yeah, probably. I don't know that I would personally be up for that level of pain, but it would be potentially something you could do, yes.
Because I'm sure the customer, they may not say, oh, that's cool, we have this Yammer search result.
Yeah.
Can we refine it? That's the first thing they're going to say.
So common is, you know, customer's going to say, hey, can we refine? That's awesome, but can we refine it? And then we have a whole other discussion about setting customer expectations and, you know, that whole sort of thing. But that's another topic, another day. Other questions? Right here. So, sorry, can you step to the mic? I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Are there different levels of service accounts which are maybe not that much throttled when calling back to Yammer, which were more able to be used in enterprise class scenarios? So,
I'm sorry, so is the question whether or not you can have like an upgraded account that can have higher throughput?
Yeah.
Like that doesn't have those limits?
Oh. What's the answer, Cam?
No. Well,
no,
you can specifically try to ask, right? But they probably won't give it.
Well, actually, that actually is a really good point. You can ask your Yammer rep, not your Yammer rep. You'd actually open a ticket with Yammer support and say, "Hey, I want to bypass these throttling limits." But it's not like, you know, an open-ended ticket to, you know, like forever. You basically have to define a specific purpose for a specific period of time that you want to be able to do that. So it could be, you know, maybe if you're doing like, I don't know, I hate to use this word, but if you're doing a migration or something like that, or you're just going to like pound the server, you could certainly ask for that.
So I have to write something like a business justification why I need this.
Yeah, so you'd have to write some kind of business justification, yeah. Okay. Actually, folks, I'm sorry, but there's other folks coming in for the next session, so we'll have to go ahead and call it here. Thank you.